So today we're going to be in Exodus 20, verse 12, and we're going to be discussing Mother's Day. But I found this in Leadership Magazine. It was July 2nd, 1982, that a guy named Larry Walters, he was 33 years old, he decided that he wanted to see his neighborhood from a new perspective. So he went down to the local Army surplus store and he bought 45 weather balloons. That afternoon, he strapped himself into a lawn chair. With the help of his friends, he filled these balloons with helium, and he took along a six-pack of beer, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and a BB gun. And he thought he could shoot down one balloon at a time and lower himself back to the ground. He had envisioned himself rising up about 100 feet above the neighborhood to oversee the neighborhood, get a new perspective. Well, he was caught off guard when he soared to more than 11,000 feet in the air, right into the air traffic from LAX, Los Angeles International Airport. The pilots could see him floating as they went by. So he ended up closing down the entire airport for the afternoon. He was so scared he couldn't shoot the balloons out. He couldn't get himself down. He finally, after all afternoon, several hours being up in the air, he finally come to the ground. And he was met, of course, by the police who sighted him, and then a reporter who asked questions. And the first question was, were you scared? Yes. Would you do it again? No. Well, why did you do it to begin with? And here's his answer. Because you can't just sit here. In other words, you've got to be doing something. Well, he became known as Lawn Chair Larry. You may have heard this story. After he landed, there was a kid named Jerry Fleck who come walking by. Lawn Chair Larry gave him the lawn chair and he left. 3 decades later, Jerry Fleck donated the lawn chair to the museum, a National Air and Space Museum. So if you want to go see it, you can see the lawn chair. So the point is, you can't just sit there, you've got to be doing something. So as we look at Mother's Day, you can't just sit, you've got to be doing. So today, this text that we're going to look at is in the midst of the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are given to us as a guide for what God desires for us, how God desires for us to live. So the first four of the Ten Commandments is, have no other God, make no graven image or no idol, don't take the Lord's name in vain, and then remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So those first four commands deal with your relationship to God. How God would have you relate to Him. If you're in relationship with God, He doesn't want you to put anyone else before Him. He doesn't want you creating anything that would resemble Him or take the place of Him. He doesn't want you to use His name in vain. If you're calling out to the Lord, He's wanting you to be calling to Him, not just using it as an ordinary word. And then you should have a Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day is holy. You should have a day of rest. So those first four is dealing with our relationship to God. And then you have the not to murder, not to commit adultery, not to steal, not to bear false witness, and not to covet. Now those deal with your relationship to one another. How God would have you treat each other. And if you belong to God and you're a Christian and you're in relationship to God, He doesn't want you going around killing, murdering people. He doesn't want you to steal their stuff. He doesn't want you to be lying about them. He doesn't want you to be coveting their things, including their wives. He doesn't want any of that. So those commands deal with our relationship to one another. Now there's one I left out. I don't know if you caught that or not, but it's the fifth command. And that's what we're going to look at today. And the fifth command is an important command because the Ten Commandments all hinge on the fifth command. The fifth command is right there in the middle, and it serves as a command that works in both your relationship to God and your relationship to fellow man. So let's read it. Verse 12, Exodus 20 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." So it says here to honor. In Hebrew, that is a verb. So in other words, it is an action word. You have to do something. Be like Lawn Chair Larry. Don't just sit around. Do something. To show honor to your parents, your mother, your father, to show them honor, it is an action word. You've got to do that. You can't just say it. You've got to do it. I don't know how you're going to do it. It may be helping them with something. It may be spending time with them. It may be focusing on them, allowing them to have their way in whatever it is that they want to do. I don't know. You can figure all that out. But it's an action word, and you have to be doing, and it is also a command. So in other words, if you don't do that, that's disobedience, which means it's sin. So God has commanded you to honor, that being an action. So it says here, the definition of honor is to regard or treat with admiration, respect, or to give special recognition to. So in order to honor your mother, in order to honor your parents, you have to give special recognition, some sort of respect. It is an act upon your part, something you have to do. Now, I remember when my mother was sick, we had a plan that she was going to live with my brother, and we wanted to keep her going, keep her active. And so the plan was we were going to take turns going up there and seeing her, spending time with her. And so once a week, I made my trip. And I would load mother up and we would go to town. And I want to tell you, we did a lot of stuff that I wouldn't normally do. But I wanted to be with mother and I wanted her to be able to do things. And so we'd go eat somewhere. And then she'd want to go to Hobby Lobby. And we'd walk around Hobby Lobby forever, it seemed like. And my mother, the way she shopped was she'd go all over the store and look at everything. I guess thinking about what she might want. And then she'd go back to the store to start actually collecting what she might want. And so, I mean, it's a long deal. I would come in from being with her all day and I was just wore out. I couldn't hardly do anything. It was just wearing me out. But now mother's gone and I don't have that opportunity. So in the time that I had, I tried to take advantage of that. And I tried to show honor by being there and being a part of her life. Even though it was difficult on me, it was hard on my schedule. It a lot of times interfered with other stuff, but that's the only time I had to do that. You may be in the same situation where you have a short amount of time left in order to show honor to your parents. And so make sure you fulfill your part in acting upon that. It is on you to act. That's what it's saying here. Honor is an action word. It's on you to act. So honor your father and your mother, the two people that it's talking about, the two people who brought you into the world. Now, I know this is simple. This is elementary, what I'm about to say, but it needs to be said. Notice it says, honor your father and mother. In other words, male and female is what God has instituted as the ones who are to procreate, the ones who are to reproduce. A man married to a woman, that's the institution that God put forth. It's not a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, or a dog and a cat, or whatever you think, or whatever the world thinks, because they've come up with all kinds of new definitions. But God has said a man and a woman, and that's the ones who are to be fathers and mothers. And so everyone has a father and a mother. Everyone. Every child that's come into this world has got a father and a mother. Some of you may not know who your father and your mother is for whatever reason. Some may have parents that you know that you wish you didn't know because they've scarred you so bad. I understand that. It doesn't change the fact that this command says to treat your father and your mother with respect. Now, here's something for you to think about. You may have to first deal with your own bitterness, scars, brokenness, unforgiveness before you're able to deal with your parents who put you in that situation. God may be calling you to look inward before you can look at them. But the command is honor your father and your parents. And by the way, saying all that, if you had parents that were really good, Jessica, wherever you're at, you might want to be thankful. And if you have good parents, you ought to be thankful, because not everyone comes into the world and has good parents. So, this command is not limited to just your biological father and mother, but it can also be applied to adopted parents, foster parents, grandparents, or the person who decided to take you in and be your parent. The one who decided to take you in and help raise you, mold you, and shape you to be who you are or who you need to be. That's the one that you need to show respect to, show honor to. Now here's what it says. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. So a command with a promise. Now isn't this just like God? God calls you to do something, and then He blesses you when you do it. And that's what this is. This is a promise that if Israel would honor their parents, if Israel would show respect to their parents, then God was making a promise that He was going to allow them to stay in this land for as long as they lived. So the promise is you can remain in the land that God was giving to them. So basically, it was God's land. He was giving it to them. And if they wanted to stay there, this is the one thing they needed to do, is honor their parents. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, this is all Old Testament. Well, let me read you a verse out of Ephesians 6 and verses 1 through 3. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first command with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Now, seems pretty basic. Basically, same thing we just read. But you know what that tells you? An Old Testament verse that is reapplied in the New Testament, that means it has just been applied to you. It's not just Old Testament now. Now it's New Testament. Now God is applying that to all of His children. If you want to live long in this land that God has given you, you better honor your parents. If you don't honor your parents, then there's no promise God's going to allow you to stay very long at all. So it's a command with a promise, and it applies to believers. Now, there's a couple of things to think about. Number one, this is a spiritual message. The spiritual message is the way you treat your parents is going to be the same way you treat your Heavenly Father. That's right. You know, you can watch, we were talking about this earlier this morning, but you can watch people and how they treat their animals. That's how they're going to treat other people. You can watch their life, and if their life is in chaos, I promise you their horse is going to be in chaos as well. Because a horse is a mere reflection of that person. So the way you treat your parents is the way you're going to treat God. That's why it's a spiritual message. If you show up at your parents' house every time you need bailed out, every time you need an extra little money, or every time you need something, you show up at your parents', that's exactly how you're going to treat God. You're going to have no need for God until you're in need. And then you're going to show up at church and you're going to want God to bail you out or to give you money or whatever. The same way you treat your parents, the way you're going to treat God. If you show love and honor to your parents and you show them and you want to be in a relationship with them and you want to walk with them day after day, that's the way you're going to want to treat God. When you're in relationship to Him, you're going to want to be near Him. You're going to want to walk with Him. You're going to want to spend time with Him. So you see, that's why it becomes a spiritual message, is however you react to your parents whom you're around is the way you're going to react to God. And so you have to be careful with that. But it's also a societal message. A foundation of a strong society is found in a family. In the family that's God-fearing, that's serving God, that loves the Lord. That's the foundation of a strong society. That's why Satan is attacking the family. That's why families are under attack. Well, let me read you a verse. I always love this verse. I've read it numerous times, but it's found in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15. And it says this: Did He not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. So God has given you a spouse. God has put you together in order for you to have godly offspring. He desires godly offspring. So the foundation of a strong society is godly offspring. That's what makes us strong. That's why Satan is attacking families, and that's why the divorce rate is high, because Satan attacks families. He doesn't want you to be happy as a family. He wants you to be separated. And so he tries to cause separation in the families, because he knows when he can destroy that family, then he is chipping away at society as a whole. And he's done a very good job of that over the years. Not only is he chipping away through divorce, he's helping some people think, oh, there's something better out there for me. I don't have to put up with this. He's helping some of them think that they can go and find someone in the same sex. That boggles my mind, how people can be married and have kids and walk away from it all and just go find someone else in the same sex. I never have understood that, but that's the attack of the devil. And now we're at the point where you can leave your kids birth certificates where they can choose whatever they want to be whenever they grow up. And I'm thinking, that's not how this works. You know, there's a male or female. We don't have much choice in this. It's not my choice. It's not your choice. God's the one who decides all that. So the devil is steadily chipping away, because he knows whenever he can destroy a family, he's destroying the society. And the society becomes weaker and weaker and weaker until it is completely in ruins. And that's his goal. Well, you and I have a lot of work to do, but I think if we follow this command and we do what he's telling us and show honor to our parents, then when we become parents, our kids are going to learn and they're going to show honor to us, so forth and so on. So it's a spiritual message and a societal message. But there are consequences. There are consequences if you want to disobey this. I want to look at a couple of them. The first one is found in Ezekiel 22, and in verse 7, the Bible says, "Father and mother are treated with contempt in you. The sojourner suffers extortion in your midst. The fatherless and the widow are wronged in you." So here in Israel at this time, the parents were not honored. They were treated with contempt. If you drop down to verse 15, it says, "I will scatter you among the nations and disperse you through the countries, and I will consume your uncleanness out of you." God says, because, number one, you're not obeying the command that I have ordered you to obey, I'm going to disperse you. Well, he did. This is the Babylonian captivity that he's talking about. Babylon came in and they carried off the children of Israel into captivity because they disregarded God's command. They didn't honor their parents. It's part of their problem. Well, there's another one, 1 Samuel. I'm not going to read all of it, but you know the story, hopefully, about Eli and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. But 1 Samuel chapter 2, let me read you verse 12. It says, "Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord." Right there sums it up. They were worthless men who did not know the Lord. And so the story of Eli, his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were priests. Hophni and Phinehas were worthless, wicked. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't care about the Lord. So they looked on the offering with contempt. They stole the Lord's offering. As people would bring their sacrifices to the Lord, they would steal it. The women, when they would come to the temple, they would have relations with the women. They didn't care about the things of the Lord. All they cared about was themselves. Eli heard about these things. He knew about these things. And he only rebuked them. Why do you do these things? He never dealt with them in the manner that he should have dealt with them. But he let them continue to go on as priests. And it's going to cost him. Because if you look in 1 Samuel 2, verse 27, it says, "There came a man of God to Eli, and he said, 'Thus says the Lord, did I indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, subject to the house of Pharaoh? Did I choose him out of the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? I gave the house of your father all my offerings by fire from the people of Israel. Why then do you scorn my sacrifice and my offerings and commanded for my dwelling and honor your sons above me by fattening yourselves on the choicest parts of every offering of my people Israel?'" So God says, "Eli, you have failed to take care of your sons. Therefore, it is going to cost you." And he goes on, you can read it. He goes on, he says, "To show you as a sign that I'm the one speaking to you, Eli," is what God says, "your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are going to die the same day." Well, Israel went into battle. The priests went forth. You can keep reading in Samuel and read this. The priests went forth to lead the way. And then as the battle was raging, a runner comes from the battle. Eli was old. I think he was 98. He couldn't see well. He's sitting on a stool at the gate. He heard a commotion. He wondered what was going on. The runner came and he said, "Eli, I've run from the battle today. I have word." Eli said, "What's the word?" He said, "First of all, both of your sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead." Just as the word of God said. And he said, "The ark of God was taken captive by the Philistines." Eli fell over backwards off of his stool, hit his head on the gate, broke his neck, and he died. The word of God will stand true. At the same moment, one of the boys who died, their wife, went into labor. And as she was bringing forth this child, she began to faint. She began to fall, and she was dying. The maidservant said, "Gain strength, you have had a son." And she said, "Name him Ichabod, because I saw the glory of the Lord leaving Israel." And she died. God sent judgment upon these people because they failed to fulfill the command that God told them to fulfill. And he wiped out that whole line of people. And he said there was only going to be one left alive, and that was Ichabod. And he said, that one will live to be old. He won't have heirs. He will weep over the condition of this family. He will be the only living one to testify of the hand of God moving against them because they failed to fulfill what God told them to fulfill. God said, honor your father and your mother, and he expects you to honor your father and your mother. He's not suggesting it. He is commanding it. And if you have a father and a mother who's still alive, you ought to be more than happy to try to honor them in some way. Because one of these days they'll be gone. But the way you treat your father and your mother is exactly the way you're going to treat God. That's why it becomes so important. And the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 21 that if you have a worthless child, I pray you don't have a worthless child, but if you have a worthless child like Eli had Hophni and Phinehas, the Bible says you're to take them forth. This is the Old Testament, and they were to stone them. That's what Eli was supposed to have done, and he failed to do it. He let them grow up. They become adults. They were worthless kids. What happens to worthless kids? They grow up and they become worthless adults. I know you probably don't like hearing that, but it's the truth. If they're not dealt with when they're young, you're not going to deal with them when they're old. And so Eli failed to fulfill his job. So honor is an action word. It calls for you to do something. You can't just sit back and watch. You have to do something. Well, I found this in Pulpit Helps, but it says that Stonewall Jackson, General Stonewall Jackson, in his famous Valley campaign, he was out doing battle. He found himself on the wrong side of the river. And so they needed to get across. So he called the engineers and he said, "I need a bridge so we can get across this river." So the engineer said, "Yes, sir," and off they went. He called the wagon master to let him know what was going on. He said, "We're on the wrong side of the river. We've got to get to the other side of the river as soon as possible. This is urgent." So he went in his tent. Here later in the night, the wagon master came and he said, "General, all of the wagons are across the river." The wagon master immediately went out and began cutting trees, finding branches, building a bridge, and they built a bridge, and they got all of the wagons across the river that night. So when General Jackson was told all the wagons are on the other side, he said, "Where are the engineers, and what are they doing?" The wagon master said, "They're in their tent, planning to build a bridge." Can you imagine that? They're planning to build a bridge. Well, I tell you that to say this. Good intentions won't cut it. Good thoughts won't cut it. God requires action. And he's asking you to move in action. When it comes to your mother, you ought to honor your mother. You ought to do something to show your love and your honor for them. Not just today, but every day. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much, and we're so grateful that you love us. Thank you, Lord, for our mothers and our fathers, the people that you put in our lives, Lord, to shape us, to mold us. And those who've had good parents, I thank you for that. And I pray that you would help them realize of the great blessing that they've had in their lives. Those who have been wounded by parents that weren't so good, Lord, I pray that you'd bring healing in those lives, restoration. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to grow close to you. We love you, Lord. We're so thankful that you love us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.